Hello, this is Corey, your DM, here to tell you that we are into Act 3 officially. I'm really happy with this episode and the ones that follow. The story really takes a turn, so I hope everyone listening enjoys it. And strap on your seatbelts.
Treasure and adventure await those who dare to seek what lie in the shadows of evil. Our realm will have to call upon its newest heroes.
Hi, my name is Matt. I play Garrel Embersoul, the Genesi Wizard.
This is Adrian. I play River Song, the Wood Elf Druid.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I play Topher Biznach, the Wood Elf Ranger.
I am Josh. I play Erebus Blackheart, a Dragonborn Fighter.
I'm Corey, and I will be your Dungeon Master.
Now join us as we venture forth to glory on this episode of Perception Check.
Hello and welcome to Perception Check. We're starting out with a little bit of talking crit. Go ahead. Nice. Stay consistent. So, guys, we are in Act 3 of this season. We are nearing the end of this arc. How are you feeling?
Excited.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, scared. Good.
Yeah. Okay. Anxious.
So a lot of stuff happened in Act 2 where Chris and Josh kind of took over the DM roles, and that was a lot of fun, so thank you guys. But you also leveled up a couple times. You are now what level?
11.
11. Okay, let's start with Matt. Matt, what's some highlights?
Health is a huge concern for wizards.
Yeah.
Or I think any character, but specifically for me, because my AC is still so low, I've never been able to really bring it up to where I would like it to be.
Hmm. What is your AC?
15. So, like, fucking everything hits. Everything. With the bonuses that are... So, I really need to play better... on the outside ranges of what's going on. So I'm going to be doing a lot more, like, asking for a description of area, because yeah. I don't want to get caught into a place where what happened in the last fight that we had, where I basically was getting hit every single time, and there was nothing I can do about it because it was not, you know... Yeah. I didn't know exactly where everything was.
One thing that I am doing, starting with Act 3, is I am kind of enforcing some of the more D&D rules. Because I think I think it makes you guys... First of all, I think we're comfortable enough with the game, we can handle it. But
no, we've been playing wrong.
I think one, there is an idea of a tactical retreat. And I also want to make sure that we're following kind of the combat correctly, because it shouldn't... All your guys' encounters shouldn't be, well, if we all just go in there and hit it till it dies, we'll win.
Right.
Like, I'd like there to be a little bit more thinking outside the box, using things you have that maybe you don't normally use.
The DM wants
using
us
the
to
environment.
Lose.
No, I want you to get creative and win, but in cool ways that actually yeah. mean something.
Sure.
Instead of, oh, like, also... you can just auto. But, yeah, so... There's that. Did you have anything else?
Oh, I was just saying, like, so I went through all these spell cards and actually put the ones in here that I can use, because I had, like, Hellish Rebuke in there. I can't use that. A couple of different other ones that I'm not able to use. So
yeah.
That's something new. And also, obviously, level 11, so we're going to get that 6-level spell.
So basically what he's saying is during my campaign he was cheating.
Well, there was cheating on
was
both
cheating?
Sides, Josh.
Who was cheating?
Who rolled? No, no. There was no
counterspell,
cheating.
Counterspell, 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 counterspell. Fuck you.
Yeah. Abraca, fuck you.
Okay. All right.
So,
anyway.
Yeah, I think that's about it for me. I mean, do you want to talk about what,
I'm gonna,
like, what we did during
spell
the
fuck
year?
You with
what?
An e-dick, so you never insulted me.
All right. River.
River. Health finally broke 100.
Yay!
Yay!
My AC is still 14, so I don't know what Matt's bitching about, because I'm not even any better.
Maybe you have a shield.
Yeah, if I take it out, as use an action to take it out.
It floats,
then
man.
Then it's plus two. So
yeah, you have
one.
A floating shield.
Yeah, and your floating shield, since speaking is a free action, doesn't count as an action to equip
your
shield.
Oh, good to know. So that's good. Health's good. I also gained a Druid Circle ability, which is Elemental Wild Shape, which I can form. You can use two of your Wild Shape abilities to transform into Air, Earth, Water, or Fire Elemental.
That's awesome.
What?
Which I'll have to look up, which is pretty cool, though.
So you can, like, turn it into air now?
An elemental, which is more powerful.
Oh, so like an actual creature.
Right. Yeah, but it's more powerful than most beasts, so it'll be in...
I was thinking you could turn into, like, air, water, earth, or fire. Like,
the elemental creatures, yeah.
I would say don't stray away from, you know, creating those woodland creatures, though.
Right, cool. I like to use those spells a lot, you probably noticed, but I like to use those.
No, I like those a lot.
And it's a good, it draws the fire.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at a lot of the druid spells and stuff, kind of going through them just out of curiosity, and there's some crazy shit in there.
Yeah, there's some pretty good spells. I think, like most people, I tend to get hooked on a couple that are my favorites, like the conjuring animals and stuff like that, but... Yeah, there's some pretty cool ones.
I'm just saying there's some cantrips that are actually pretty good.
And some of them, I'm not really sure what scenario they'd be useful in yet, and you don't really think about them all the time, so that's definitely something that I could do better.
I'll send you some stuff. Erebus, you definitely have the more crazy upgrades.
Yeah, so I multi-class, so I'm level 8 fighter, level 3 warlock.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 116 health now. 20 AC without my shield while I'm dual wielding. I have 2 spell slots. And then some more stuff that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then after we're done with this, everyone did choose gods. So yes. I'm going to have you guys talk about, just real quick, God. Do you want to talk about what it does?
Yeah.
I think we've all kind
of
done
it,
so we'll talk
quickly.
About what
it
does.
Really quickly.
Just be vague.
Topher, level 11, he has 81 health, so nothing special there, but I gained Hide in Plain Sight, which is even if you're, like, out in the open, if he has, like, a minute with nobody looking at him, he can kind of hide himself in that area.
Oh, cool.
And then, I
one
got
with the force.
Multi-attack, which means that within 10 feet, just as a normal attack, I can attack anybody in a 10-feet radius. I have to use ammo for each attack, and I have to roll a separate attack roll for each one, but it doesn't count as separate attacks.
And it's anyone within a 10-foot radius?
Yeah.
So if you do the multi-attack, like...
But it's only, like, enemies. It's not, like, everyone in a 10... It's not like I'm wildly shooting arrows
anymore. Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that's basically the new stuff. And then Oyarsa is the god that Topher chose because he's familiar with her, which means that once a day, basically once a session, he can pray to Oyarsa, and she will reveal some kind of prophecy to him.
Yeah, it'll be one or two words, and there may be like an image involved as well, but it's going to be very minor. Yeah. So, Matt, you chose Risen Veil, right?
Risen Veil, so +2 to
intelligence and wisdom.
Yeah, basically anything that has to do with anything that is intelligence or wisdom based. Saves, attacks, rolls, DC, all that.
Yep.
So I figured that was made the most sense for me. And my character, who is you know, a studious person. And also, I didn't talk about the Elemental Adept feat that I got, and the... haven't used it much, but I don't know if I ever mentioned that I have the Arcane Trickster as well.
Yeah, you've mentioned that.
I've used it once, it didn't work, but I did use it once. And both of those are super, super cool. The Elemental Adept is fire. And also means that I can treat any one as a 2 on a dice, which is pretty baller.
And
for
also,
fire
if
spells.
Anyone's resistant to fire damage,
it doesn't matter.
It cancels that out.
Yep.
So, they take normal damage.
River is following, I think it's Falia?
Yeah, I think so.
Which is a fast heal ability, so I get 1 extra healing dice on all my healing spells.
Oh, nice.
Which, being the...
The only healer?
Not ideal healer as a druid, it's a good call.
Yeah.
Erebus.
I chose Lambert. So, I can create a clone of myself.
That's half your size?
Half my size, half my health. And -4 AC.
Mm.
So I get a little badass and little mini me that I can run around.
That's
with.
So cool. Okay, I'm gonna pause real quick.
Okay. Are you guys ready?
I'm so yep. ready.
Okay, so what I'm gonna need you guys to do actually is I'm gonna need all of you to roll a D20 start now.
5.
17.
16.
We're immediately in combat.
Well, 6. I didn't add anything to it.
River.
You don't add anything to it. Yours was 6, Carol?
Yep.
River, yours was?
17.
17. Chris, yours was?
16.
16, okay. All right. Now, we're going to start out with a little bit of fill-in on, because there's a time jump. There's about 2 years that kind of surpassed.
I equate this in my own head to it. There's a section in One Piece, the awesome anime, where they go off and train for 2 years. So I kind of thought about it in that
sort
way,
of,
sort
yeah.
of.
Yeah. All right. Year one, AC. That means after the coalition was formed.
Oh.
You met a bard and helped him find his voice. You encountered pirates. You were kidnapped. You faced demons. You encountered many small confrontations throughout this time, but you have seen nothing regarding Nicholas Mage himself. But at Hagwarts, your jobs have all expanded. Erebus, you have been sailing to surrounding islands, getting supplies and delivering supplies for Smarteldor. Here you get into a few scuffles from time to time, and that's where you get your tavern brawler feat.
Okay.
So you are now able to do unarmed damage with punches, 1d4, I think, and 1d6 improvised weapons. So if you grab a chair and hit someone with it, you do 1d6 damage.
Hmm.
Topher, Smarteldor has been sending you on different scouting missions for disturbances, items that they've kind of started to hear about. Because after the deal with Exio and having some more of these encounters kind of coming along, people have been a little bit more nervous. That's why there's supply missions to places that have been attacked, and you're also doing scouting missions following leads, and they're actually sending Smarteldor sending Bert with you while you're doing this.
Cool.
Out hunting, you gain your sharpshooter feat.
Awesome.
So it's a little bit better accuracy. If people are partially hiding, you can still hit them. You have those abilities, and Bert in this time learns Skulker, so he can hide a little bit better. He gets a little more nimble on his feet, and if he shoots from being hidden with an arrow and misses, it doesn't give away his position.
Oh, that's cool.
So with that, you and Bert kind of get a little bit closer going out on these missions. You kind of learn that Bert, when first talking to you, he was a little kind of awkward around you, Topher, because you questioned him on his morality and what he was doing. And he explains to you that in the Assassin's Guild, that's all he's known. He thought dealing in greys was the right thing. He didn't think he was doing something bad until he met all of you and everything that you were doing and the cause you were behind. So that's when he started to kind of question what was happening. Geralt and River, you were both brought into Smarteldor's planning. You were both basically his right hand in strategizing and also kind of running the school. You all took part in classes and talking to kids, helping them teach magic and defending themselves. And River, you actually befriended the alchemist teacher. She's very cool. You became good friends with her, and you learned your alchemist feat.
Sweet.
So that gives you some bonuses to potions when you take them, and you can actually identify what potions are by looking at them. You have enough knowledge of the ingredients. Now, the ones that you have received on your past mission, you haven't quite been able to figure out what it is, but you think it's some sort of potion involving blood, possibly. You're able to pick that out.
Yep.
Geralt, you and Dumbledore also are working on a special coding between the two of you for messages.
So Smarteldor.
Smarteldor, what did I say?
Dumbledore.
I've been reading Harry Potter to Luna.
Nice.
So Smarteldor, which is funny because I've been saying Smarteldor while reading the book. And I wrote Dumbledore. You and Smarteldor are working on a special coding between the two of you. You're kind of trying to come up with something that the Coalition and other places can learn kind of coded language through letters, because one was intercepted and it caused quite a bit of issues in the forest. And you guys had to go out and take out these people when they were kind of planning an ambush on you. So okay. You've decided to start coding your letters.
That's cool.
The first round, it was very, very difficult and advanced that you both kind of mastered, but you were like, this is going to be too hard to teach. So it went through a couple iterations. Yeah, you know. And you came up with a kind of an easy one for everyone to use. You guys do have a lot of fun messing with this and kind of like having your own inside jokes with coding. So during this time, during these 2 years where you kind of have these odd jobs, of course there's downtime between going on missions. What are kind of some of the things that you guys have been doing in the off time? So let's start with you, Topher.
I think Topher, he was already, I don't think he really changes much. There's a little bit less questing, but he's still, you know, every once in a while going out with the Huntsman Union to keep up his, you know, re-earning and defending his title for the Antler's Crown. But he's also, I think all of us, but Topher is teaching either long-range weapon shooting at Hagwarts every once in a while. I mean, we're, like, adjunct, so yeah. It's not, like, a regular thing. Or every once in a while, like, a stealth class if Bert can't make it. And I think he also maybe couples with River doing lessons on, like, nature and survival. So he's been teaching, he's been hanging out at the tavern, he's been hunting.
Yeah.
And then obviously going out on, like, questing, scouting trips.
Yeah. Erebus.
I spent a lot of this time, apart from doing the missions and such for, Hagwarts, most of my time was spent in solitude. I spent a lot of time, talking to Aure, and honing my pact ability. Do you want me to go into that now, or...?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm choosing the Bladering as my pact weapon, which means that I can essentially throw it away and put it back in my hand at will. It takes an action, but I can never lose it.
That's cool.
it also got...
Instead of doing a dexterity...
Yeah.
Check.
Okay. Well,
he lost that when he trained with Bert.
Yeah. So, but no, like I can literally, like, if we're stripped naked and put in a prison, would the magic? We'll talk about that.
Unless later. You no. had a bracer on, you could.
I still don't think it would matter. I don't know. We'll get.
I think
it
probably cancel out that magic. But let's say you guys were captured and they stripped you of your weapons and took you to see the captain. You could at any time go. And get your weapon
in my hand.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I also trained with Aure to infuse some more of my warlock power into it. So the pact weapon gets a bonus anyways. And so we talked about... so we're bumping it from 2d6.
Is this like you going to the wall and chatting with Aure? Or are you doing this like telepathically? Because you guys still
like
have that
telepathically,
connection.
I mean, like literally, like when I'm not... being called upon by to be a part of the coalition, I'm literally like in a cave, like gone from everywhere else. So we went from 2d6 to 2d8 for the weapon itself, and then it also does 1d4 fire damage.
Sweet.
So it's fucking
it's
badass.
Pretty sick. And then there's another feature that I'm sure will happen later. River.
River is a hermit, and so she spent most of her time in the wilderness by herself. All this socialization, doing all these quests and stuff, while she's enjoyed it, it's kind of takes a toll on her after a while. She kind of wants to be alone, so, you know, just probably meeting different animals, honing her wild shape ability, seeing what she can transform into. She probably spent a lot of time as an animal. And then, of course, you know, working with Smartle Door and stuff. But a lot of her free time was spent by herself.
Okay. Geralt.
There's a couple of things I want to do. Number one is... I want to... I'll find that spell later.
Okay.
There's a spell that I have now at my current level... that will actually give me insight into Nicholas Mage. So I'm going to use that spell to learn more about him, and then Also, just do any sort of other research for the mission that's going to be coming. Because we know that there's going to be some sort of big battle that we're preparing for. We've been warned by Smartledore that that's going to happen at some point. So he is just studying every kind of spell that he can and honing the memory spell. And also, he wants to... we talked about this before, but he wants to work with Smartledore to free the souls in the sword that we found.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Which is still on the island, which I can call at will with Lehman's secret chest. While I'm there at the school, because I have been worried about my AC quite a bit, I want to find a... because I'm sure we've got tailors... or things of that nature that we can try to up our armor for this big battle. Because I think that only makes sense that our characters level up and then they also level up in health and armor. Yeah. So I'd like to work with like a tailor for especially us cloth or leather working people to raise our AC.
Yeah. I'd say that there is definitely people on there. I think you go and you ask around and you talk to Smartledore and he's like, well, yeah, I think we should be able to do something for you. I may have a couple things I'll be able to do for you later. It's kind of a work in progress, you know, how these things go. He's like, but I'm sure we'll be able to find something for you in River, at least. And you do. You guys both find a couple of different robes that they kind of help you out the way it's sewed. Maybe they sew some chain in there or something.
That's the only problem.
Okay, then some really thick,
really good
wicker
cloth
or something. Okay, so River, what's your AC?
Paper 14. Armor. Paper 14. Armor like the samurai.
Go ahead and bump that up +2. Okay. And girl, yours is at 15. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and bump it 1.
Okay.
It's real strong wicker.
Nice. Real strong. It's really good.
So the research on the sword, let's get to that first because I think that'll take a little bit longer, maybe.
Well, what you guys are able to figure out is that this is definitely some dark, dark magic.
Okay.
Smartledore kind of compares it to the vampire sword, the sword of vampire that Exio had, but says it's far, far worse.
Okay.
So I'd say probably within towards the end of the second year, you guys are able to crack that code, and Smartledore and you are able to kind of free these spirits, and the entire school gathers around and has, like, this mass ceremony for the releasing of these spirits turning it into... Once you release these spirits, it basically shattered the sword.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say...
So it was something that destroyed the weapon at the same time. I know, just for you.
You rat bastard.
And they moved on to whatever's next.
Sure. My other goal was going to be... I talked to Josh Erebus already about this, and I'm not going to now, but I had a couple of different plans for how I was going to trick Aure into giving up the contract with Erebus.
Mm.
Because she technically is my... I basically own her.
From the Pokeball, but Smartledore put a separate like enchantment on it to make it a little bit stronger in service of the school.
Right. But I can still call on her to help in battle until she dies.
Yeah.
So my plan was, well, she's gonna go to another plane or whatever after she dies or something. That's kind of what I assumed. But that was my plan to use a illusory script and a couple of other spells that I had to basically trick her into that. So I'm not going to do that anymore because Erebus doesn't want that.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have really worked all that well. I'll tell you that right now.
So let's get into Scop then. I wanted to... We didn't really get a chance to talk or anything, and I feel like...
So how about I give you a quick rundown on Scop?
Okay.
He's pretty solitary. He really only had a grandmother that kind of took care of him. He kind of alludes that an accident befell their family during a raid that happened in their village.
Okay.
But you get the idea that he's a pretty nervous kid, pretty self-conscious.
Right.
Seems really nervous all the time. really looks up to you and everything you're capable of doing.
Okay.
And everyone in the coalition, he kind of idolizes all of you, but he really has a connection since he has a bit of a connection with magic. He connects to you a little bit more. He's not great at, you know, casting fireballs and all these sort of things. He's sure. He's struggling a bit, but he wants to do good, and he's studying really hard, but it's not quite as natural with him.
So all I really wanted to do with Scop was basically just befriend him. Yeah. And let him know that if at any point he can come to me and we can talk, we can hang out, we can... I assume maybe over the last couple of years, maybe he has coffee with me in the morning. And,
yeah.
You know, and we
I love the idea of you guys, like, having breakfast together.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's adorable.
We're, like, essentially, like, the same people. He's just not there. He's not as competent yet. And so I kind of feel like, just basically befriending him in any way possible.
You are his unofficial big brother.
Yeah, there you go. So I want him to be the friends that he doesn't have, because I didn't have friends.
Yeah, and he's very solitary.
And so now he has a friend. And I have a friend, too, because I think he's, you know, he needs it. And
And I think
that's all I wanted to do.
And I think after this time with you, he's still a pretty nervous kid. He seems like really kind of like, about everything. But I think you can kind of start seeing a little bit of confidence coming in more with some of the early spells that he's learning in casting.
Cool.
Okay.
What is he interested? What's his school that he's working on?
The thing is, he doesn't really know.
Okay.
He's kind of dabbling in everything. He really wants to find something that he's good at, not necessarily natural in. Mm-hmm. He just feels like there's something that he needs to be good in, and he's more focused on that instead of just letting it happen.
But he's his class is wizard, though, right?
He is technically a wizard. Okay. But he's not sure, kind of like, do I want to dabble
school?
More in... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's a little up in the air there.
Okay, so back to... I know this is taking forever. I'm so sorry, guys.
No, you're good.
But I had, like, all this stuff that I really wanted to do. This spell...
I figured this whole introduction part would take a pretty good chunk of time, because we're covering a lot.
Okay, cool. This spell is called Legend Lore.
Okay.
It's a 5th-level spell... and it takes 10 minutes to cast. I don't know how much we're going to focus on that kind of stuff, now that we're going to be a little bit more rules heavy, on this kind of stuff, but basically let me know, because there are some things that take an hour to cast.
No, I'm, like, spell casting? Boring. So, if you have spells in your repertoire, like, use them, unless there's, like, something very, very strict about it.
I think the only thing that, like, we'd really have to pay attention to would be, like, if it's a concentration spell.
Yeah.
Like, so, you, like, can't cast another spell while you're holding that spell, essentially.
Yeah. Like, if you do Vampiric Touch, and you're like, I'm gonna punch him in the face, and, like, well, you're losing your Vampiric Touch.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Those
obvious
ones. I
assume that takes 24 hours to cast.
You do?
To cast?
Yeah.
Or the duration.
Oh, like the Animate Dead one?
Oh, that's the duration.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah,
I was going
to
say.
Okay, so here's what it is.
I was like, that's
name
a
or describe a person, place, or object. The spell brings to your mind a brief summary of the significant lore about the thing you named.
Hmm.
The lore might consist of current tales, forgotten stories, and even secret lore. That's why I chose this. Because this is something that basically nobody knows, but I may be the only one that knows it.
Yes.
That has never been widely known. The thing that you named isn't... if the thing you named isn't of legendary importance, you gain no information. The more information you have about the thing, the more precise and detailed the information is you receive. The information you learn is accurate, but might be couched in figurative... Couch? That's weird. In figurative language.
Mm-hmm. For example, turned into a sofa.
If you have a mysterious magic axe on hand, the spell might yield this information. Woe to the evil... You know what? I'm not going to read all this.
It's a random-ass thing. Yeah, here. This is what I'll tell you. After using this and trying to kind of get a beat on Nicholas Mage, you are able to figure out his name is indeed Nicholas Mage.
Right.
He is a demigod. In your world, because gods are the ascendant, and he is the son of Oyarsa, so, and it was with a mortal, so he's kind of got a demigod status. You are able to find out that he is inherently evil, and the magic that he's able to use to kind of jump from these different people is unknown. And you really focus on this aspect, and you really try to get something out of it. And just as you feel like there's something there, in your mind as you're using this, there's a blur. There's a flash of red, a flash of purple. Like, something is setting up blocks for this information.
Okay.
Okay. But otherwise, you know that he has been around for a very, very, very long time. He has many good ways of kind of hiding and lying in wait, and he's never been a really nice thing. There's some people that have had interactions that worked favorably for them, mostly making deals with him, but that's basically all you're able to glean. Okay.
And also Topher, traitor, going with Oyarsa.
How dare you?
Oyarsa's not...
Oyarsa is Nicholas Mage's mother.
But she's not evil.
We know that from the vision, so it's not...
It doesn't mean she's
bad.
But
we haven't gleaned that she's evil.
Yeah, but we don't know.
Matt doesn't trust her.
I don't trust anybody.
A parent is not is not accountable for the sins of their children.
Yeah. Moving on. Still in the first year.
You're not to blame.
One thing that happens in year 1 AC is that you are seeing a rise in attacks by certain cult members and followers of Titan. They have specific sigils and robes that they're wearing as they're going and kind of trying to cause hell. And they're trying to really return Titan to this world. There are many attacks on towns. Spells and summons to perforate the underworld and our current plane of existence are happening regularly. You guys are being called out there. Many people died and townships were overrun. Many more casualties would have followed if it wasn't for the call. The COL, the Coalition of Light, to fight back the priests, the hellhounds, the fiends. You brought hope to thousands across the land in this year. Cultus would show his face in the southwest farmlands, and one chalk door later, the heroes Geralt, River, Erebus, Topher, Bert, and Lazarus were there. Sometimes the team looked different. Some were off on other duties, so it kind of cycled around to who was in the main group. But there was also kind of an honorary member who was more of a lone wolf member in David Horselhoff, who himself was kind of a one-man wrecking crew in the name of Smarteldor.
But is he a member of the call?
He's kind of like honorary. He's working with you guys and with Smarteldor to kind of stop this from happening, but he wants no part of being in a team with you.
Right.
Now,
we want him in a team.
What's great is you guys actually got in this first year to finally experience working with him firsthand. You seven all ran out and fought a hill troll trying to break his way into Winterhelm. Lazarus had run up and got knocked back about 30 feet. David actually lifted his sword, grabbing it by the hilt with the blade pointing down, and held it up to his head, and you saw a radiant glow go all over his body. And he charged in there and with one solitary blow exploded this hill giant, hill troll. So seeing this happen before your eyes, what are your thoughts since you kind of have seen David be everything that he's been claimed to be?
Well, I think especially now, I really, really hate him.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, there's just something like deep inside of me that's like, the hate.
Yeah, I wonder what that'd be.
I think it's just frustrating. Like, Topher never doubted his ability. It's just the fact that, like, when a hot girl knows that she's hot, it doesn't diminish how hot she is. She's still really hot. It's just the fact that she thinks she's better than everyone is really annoying.
I'm on the same fucking page with you. Like, okay. That's exactly how I feel. Like, yes, maybe sometimes we need his help. Do we want him there? No.
Right.
Yeah. We would much rather, like, cast silence
Topher's
on him.
Topher's like, yeah, you're incredibly powerful, but you don't have to be a dick all the time.
Just because he can back it up doesn't mean he has an excuse for being a douchebag, so I pretty much feel the same way.
Okay.
no one likes him anymore.
Now,
he makes no effort to be kind in any way.
Or humble.
So what's great is Smarteldor is proud and is celebrating every single one of your guys' victories with fanfare. Big celebrations at Hagwarts, inviting townspeople in. He's throwing constant parties, just really kind of getting the hope and the cause up there. Because the cause was going flawlessly. The plan, everything you were doing, flawlessly. Until that next winter. With the danger that was steadily appearing, some of the schools and activities were questioned. As the growing threat of Titan's followers loomed over the land and just random attacks they were doing, school activities were coming under fire by a lot of the parents who sent their children there. Newly appointed students who were classed as druids, they normally do a yearly trip to the woods at this time to study, because their strength comes from the earth. So their magic has to be pulled differently during the snow when trees and plants have died. So it's kind of a big trip for this class of magic. That's why Smarteldor insisted that it continues. Nothing has ever approached Hagwarts in at least a century, and because it would be suicide. But what is death to those who welcome it? Elder Fern, a teacher for the first-year students, led a class of 22 kids into the woods, and there they were waiting. You four and Bert came back from a minor mission. You later found out that this mission you were sent on was a distraction. And you walked into Hagwarts, and you hear a scream coming from the woods. David was there, and he jumped on Kit, and they led the way, speeding past into the woods, and you five followed in tow. You found David kneeling in the snow, crying, as 22 bodies laid, freezing in the ice. David would grab a couple and try to revive them, but to no avail. What was left of the teacher was spread in a thick patch of red snow. Bringing the teachers back, Smarteldor went pale. He inspected each body, coming to the conclusion that each falling student had their soul ripped from them. Smarteldor spent the next several weeks locked away. Thala took over the goings-on at Hagwarts, made sure his assistant...
Thala.
making sure everything was running smoothly, which it did. She did an amazing job. When he finally appeared several weeks later, it was with a cane in hand. It looked like 1,000 years was stripped away from him. This war is now officially taking its toll. He said he believes that these attacks are collection missions to build a spell, something to bring Titan to our land. It's the last push. They must have recruited more members, more followers, gotten the word out, and he decides that you all should do the same. He asks Topher to contact the Huntsmen and see if they will join the cause. Erebus, he talks to you and wonders if there's any fleets or old friends you can contact to have them come in.
I've got a few that are dead. Thanks a lot.
Smarteldor also contacted the surrounding kingdoms, the surrounding islands, and they are sending their armies to the school to help build up for the fight. Teachers across the land and civilians are showing up to assist. It was a sobering year for the Coalition, because it was the year that brought a heavy loss. So year 2 AC after the Coalition. Hundreds upon hundreds of students are pulled from Hagwarts as parents grow scared and unsafe in trusting Smarteldor with the lives of these children. Many people from neighboring towns move in and take shelter. A few people from Redlarch, including Harlethurl, are now living among the groups of people that have taken shelter in Hagwarts.
Do you still get free booze?
Yes. There is also Alchemist and many others that are now residents in there from Lazybrook, because Lazybrook was destroyed.
So I'm kind of picturing like a lot of lean-tos and haphazard shelters and tents and things that have been put up within the shield around Hagwarts.
Within the shield around Hagwarts. It's kind of like a tent town, basically.
Yeah. Refugee camp?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if hundreds of students have left, there would also be room in the dorms.
Yeah, so it's kind of spreading all over. The numbers grow constantly.
Also, was Theodore killed in the attacks, or is he there?
He's there.
Okay.
Lazybrook was destroyed. Most of the villagers made it out due to a heroic few. Gregory, the innkeeper, being one of them. He sacrificed himself, drawing the horde away, and died so many more could escape.
Mm. Fucking Gregory. Badass.
That's a
we have a moment of silence for Gregory.
For Gregory?
Sure. Okay. Smarteldor turns to you, River, during the second year, and asks you to contact your adoptive dwarven family and the people that they work with, hoping that he could get an alliance with them.
Oh, good. It wasn't all
you guys. No, you did have a couple notable victories. You guys overcame a fiend with 42 angry hands. you got a call about him invading a village, and you went and attacked him. There was a...
That's a lot of hands.
There was... There was a hippo with an excited knee that was causing a lot of trouble in the town because it just kept, like, walking around in circles, like, in the center of town and got lost. But luckily you guys showed up and River was able to speak to it and kind of calm it down. There was also a harpy with a crystal called the Eye of Fear that you guys stopped. And this one's interesting because you came across a mermaid kind of north of Hagwarts in kind of towards the peninsula on the Cult of Titan. You came across a mermaid with a curious mind who kept trying to lure people down into the water. She was infatuated with humans and kept drowning people. So you guys went there, but the people who are the Cult of Triton that live over there... didn't like you on their beach and kind of kicked you off, but you were able to solve it from the other side of that inlet and stop her. So if you guys are wanting to do any sort of backstories or fill in any spaces on those, that is now an available feature for you if you want to DM any of that.
Corey texted me.
Okay.
So you're responsible for the hippo with the excited knee? That is so much better than all the other ones.
Can I just say, there wasn't one penis or boob in those? And I was completely shocked. And Smartledore gives you one kind of big surprise to kind of help the mood. He takes you guys up to the main tower of Hagwarts. It's adjacent to the main castle. And it's the tallest tower that they have. And there is a large circular common room with six doors. This is your headquarters. You each have rooms here. You meet with Smartledore here constantly. And he gives directions, plan strategies. Gives you kind of the layout of the land. This is like your Coalition of Light, like danger room, basically.
We have our own panic room.
Yep. You each have a room, and on this day, Smartledore tells you that he has intel on where a priest of Titan is held up. It's in the cavern of Mido Tarn, and you must eliminate him. He sends Erebus, Topher, River, and Geralt. Because Bert and Lazarus, he says that they have kind of something to do. And he sends you out there. Now, we pick you up. We're going to pick up right now outside of a door. You guys have already gone into this cavern, okay? You snuck in. You looked around. There was no one there. It looks like people haven't been there for months. You go around through all the different corridors. There's lots of little small rooms. You check everything. Nothing's there. You go to the end of the cavern where there is one remaining door that you haven't opened, but it's large and ornate. That's where we are picking up. What do you guys do?
Check the traps.
And perception check.
20.
I got over 20.
You inspect the door. There's a keyhole. You kind of learned your lesson last time. You're looking all around the edges. You're getting really in detail, like feeling around all these cracks. No traps. You're able to kind of peek under the door and look in. There's no traps on the other side that gives you any idea of those. It looks like there may be a faint glow from inside the room,
though. That's what they want you
to do. With my perception check, I'm going to look around and I'm going to listen at the door really well.
You listen at the door and you don't hear anything.
Okay.
Mm. What kind of lighting are we in?
And is the door locked? I feel like we could figure that out with a trap and perception check.
Door's unlocked.
Okay.
Door's unlocked.
And what kind of room are you in? Lighting. You're kind of like at lighting. The end of a hallway. It's dark where you
and
guys
are. It's a cavern,
are.
Right? So it's like
it's a cavern. It's very dark. There's no real torches throughout this cavern. And looking under the door, you did see that there was a faint light source from somewhere in the room, kind of in the right corner, but you're not able to really see anything.
Okay. I'm going to cast Silent Image. You create an image of an object, creature, or some other visible phenomenon that's no larger than 15 cubic feet. Basically, I'm going to make a double of myself.
Okay.
And have it go in front of me.
Okay. And kind of send it in.
Yeah, I'm going to send it in. Just my movement. Maybe half my movement. I'll send it in 15 feet.
Okay, and it can't interact with anything.
No,
or pick
it can't
anything
do
up,
anything.
Right?
Okay. I don't think...
Topher's going to step back a few feet and kneel down and pray to Oyarsa.
Okay.
He's going to say, oh,
yeah,
Yarsa.
I can't do anything.
Can I roll a, would be investigation or perception to look for any rodents, cockroaches, animals nearby?
There are...
Spiders.
There's some rats, but they look real, like, Like, they're probably inbred.
River can sense that they're... I didn't even have to roll for it, but I can sense they're stupid rats. From the...
okay. Not stealth.
You pray to Oyarsa.
Tovar says, Oyarsa, my prophetess clothed in beauty and light, what message do you have for us?
Okay. You don't get an image with this one, but you hear her voice whisper to you, and she goes, blow.
Just blow.
Mm-hmm.
Blow or below?
Blow. Blow.
Okay. Also, when Topher gets up from kneeling, he has a little bit of a chubby.
I was going to say, Topher gets an erection. Yeah.
So do you relay that information to us? Because we can't hear it, right?
We don't care about the erection.
No. Sure, I get up, I walk over to you guys, and I say, blow.
Well, hey, blow me, okay?
I got a gust of wind, so I can cast that.
Yeah,
nice.
Hold on, before you do that...
Can I roll a stealth check before he does that?
Yeah. I already rolled and I failed,
well,
so I'm kicking.
I can roll.
On your stealth check? Okay, mm-hmm. So you're not stealth.
17. Nope.
17, you're stealth.
I would like to pull out of the ground my mini-me.
I was going to say, wait, can I just T-Rex before we go in?
Tover is going to stealth check as well. 24.
18. For a stealth check, by the way?
For a stealth check, you're stealth. What do you want him to do?
I'm going to wait until he used gusts of wind.
Well,
so I'm just pulling him to my side, essentially.
Illusory okay. Double, right?
I'm staying at the door. I'm hiding. Is the door in such a way that I could hide to the side of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's... I'm going to use cover.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send my image 15 feet further.
Into the room?
Into the room.
Okay, so the door opens and he goes 15 feet into the room and nothing happens.
So then I send him another 15 feet.
He goes in another 15 feet and nothing happens. Can you see what he sees?
I don't think so.
From where you guys are in the door, you can see that there is a faint glow that's illuminating just part of the room from the right.
What does the room look like? Like, is there...
It's pretty dark, but it's a large square room. Not super large. Like a nice house's living room.
So, know? Do you guys want to
there's barrels and shit.
Do you want me to cast Gust of Wind? Or do you want me to send my illusion person all the way over to the Source of Light?
I think we should cast Gust of Wind towards the light source.
So you guys want to stay in the room?
Or fourth
option,
right,
I can send my Drift Globe in and light the room up.
Well, maybe
why don't you blow out that candle?
Yeah, after we do the Gust of Wind.
Or lamp or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, Gust of Wind's going to take care of that anyway, so unless it's magic. So, yeah, I cast Gust of Wind.
Okay, towards the light source? So you kind of flip into the room and blast
it? Yeah, use my movement to cast and then back. So I
you
can
cast
use
Gust
half...
of Wind.
Yeah.
I gotcha. You cast Gust of Wind and it flows through the corner of the room and you see this dim light flicker, but it stays lit.
Okay.
And but through the flickering, you can kind of see that it's coming from a table, and there's one chair. And the chair is empty, but it is blocking the source of light.
Okay. There's a chair.
It's a large stone chair.
This is the top right corner of the room?
Yeah, so if you're looking in, it's top right corner.
Oh, I'm, like, thinking it's on the ceiling. Like,
No.
That's why I was thinking.
No.
I was thinking it was, like, on the corner.
From what you can see, there's no other door in this room.
Right, so this is the only door. I'm afraid that if we go in, it's going to be locked. And we're not going to be able to get out. But at the same time...
Well, the door didn't close when your illusionary double went in.
That's true. You know what?
I can cast Wall of Stone, like, in the doorway so it can't close.
let's not waste that.
I was going to say, it'd be wasting a fifth level spell.
Okay.
I sent my double into the chair.
Okay. We'll say he gets... a foot within from the chair. Is he talking at this point?
Nope.
No, okay. So he just goes, like, strutting in, like a little half-sized you, just goes strutting in up to the chair. He gets about a foot away from the chair, and he goes, pop, and disappears. And he winds up next to your side.
Huh.
He's not dead?
Nope.
He just, like, basically gets teleported back next to him. Huh.
But there was no danger anywhere else in the rest of this room.
Can I fire an arrow towards the chair?
Yeah.
21.
I put my shield up.
You nail an arrow into the back of the chair.
And it hits the chair.
Yep.
Okay.
Hits the chair. It doesn't teleport.
Doesn't teleport.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Tover's still stealthed. He's going to enter the room quietly and do a perception check kind of towards, you know, everything that he can see in the room. It's not a huge room. Oh, he only got 11 on the perception check.
Okay, you're farther in, but you still can't quite get a good angle on what's going on with the table chair light combo.
Okay.
I can cast Detect Magic, go into the room and cast Detect... Actually, let me see.
I throw my blade ring and try to bounce it off the wall and hit the chair on, like, the front side of the chair.
Okay. We'll say you do that and it hits the front side of the chair and kind of, like, sticks into it.
So there's nobody sitting in the chair?
Nope.
He already said it was empty.
Mm-hmm. But why did the thing teleport? That's the only question.
We don't know yet. Clearly there's something different about a person.
I can use... I'll go in 15 feet so that I can,
Why don't you dispel magic?
That's not a bad idea.
Can I roll a rock?
We'll say you do that. It fails.
Is there any, like, I'm assuming we're in a cabin, there's, like, rocks or stones on the ground I can pick. Can I try rolling a rock across the floor to this chair?
And see? Yeah.
We're going bowling for bitches.
You don't even got to roll. Nothing happens.
Okay. Same, it was on the floor.
Same as firing an arrow.
So I was going to
I was rolling it on the ground.
Arcana check on the, okay, on that the area. 18 plus, like, fucking 6 or something.
Like a Christmas tree. This place is glowing and a-glowing.
Topher puts on his Sherlock Holmes hat and does an investigation check.
Okay.
Oh.
Don't you get advantage?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
19? 19, but I'm pretty sure that's...
There's...
You have, like, plus 11 to investigation.
Yeah. No, well, you got a couple good points. You get everything that you are going to get from this investigation check. You see that this is a large room, kind of dark, a table, a chair... A light source that you still can't quite see. You maybe get a better angle on it, but it's kind of blurry for some reason. Mm-hmm. But no
what
threats
kind
of
light
danger.
Source is it?
Can I?
It's a soft glow.
We don't know though.
No, but is it like? Is it a candle or is it a?
You'd compare it to a candle, probably.
Okay. So Mara,
maybe a little bit powerful than just a candle.
Can I cast Thorn Whip on the chair and try and pull it 10 feet closer to me?
Sure. Okay, yeah, so you whip it and you try pulling it, but it's just a bit too heavy.
Okay. Is that a spell or a cantrip?
It's a cantrip.
I
do it again.
Loving this.
It was too heavy? Oh.
Can I get to, like, the side of the
room?
Yeah,
better than an eight.
Yeah, you go into the other corner, nothing happens, and you can get a better view of this light source, but it's still kind of blurry.
Oh, shit. I go over to the light source and I blow it out.
Okay, well, we'll say, are you guys joining him?
Topher was going to sit in the chair.
I'm sorry, okay. I'll go with him.
Okay.
I'll go with him.
You guys all kind of go with him as you approach this table and a light source, and when you get within 1 foot of this chair, the blur goes away, and there's a cake.
The cake is a lie.
With 3 candles on it. And all of a sudden, Smartledore, Lazarus, Bert, all of these people from Hagwarts pop up around this room and go, "Surprise!"
What the fuck?
What?
And they're like, "Happy 3-year anniversary of the Coalition of Light."
Oh my god.
And Smartledore kind of goes, "Now that was pretty good." And David's there too, and he's like, "I could have solved this in just a second."
It's not about you, David.
And so you guys...
Who invited David to our anniversary
don't
party?
They know
what's great is that there's a barrel of, like, beer over in the corner, and Harlothrol comes out of it, and he's like, "Hey, happy anniversary, motherfuckers! You guys want a beer?"
And, yeah!
Oh, wait, right. I drank it all.
So you guys party, you drink, you all talk and get together.
You had a bad experience.
Bert doesn't drink, obviously.
Never likes to drink in the fantasy world.
The last time you drank.
I know.
So you guys all kind of celebrate and have drinks and talk about, you know, kind of the future and where you guys are kind of wanting to go. And you hear a glass tinking, like, someone wants to do a speech. And you look around, and David Horselhoff stands on a chair.
Oh, God.
And he says, Hello, thank you. I have something to say. I am just very happy that everyone is here to celebrate, and I thought I would invite all of you to a medal ceremony I'm going to be in tomorrow. And he's like, also, great job, you guys, but also, medal ceremony, because I'm great. You're all invited. Please come.
Do we need to RSVP?
I'm great. And he's like, I know you guys will be there. Somebody kind of laughs and chuckles to himself and goes and
why
starts...
Why don't you go cuddle some dead kids?
Jeez.
Geralt's drunk. Geralt's shit-faced.
Can I cast silence on Geralt? Jesus Christ.
Shit. Everyone goes quiet.
Oh, all right, well, fucking party's over.
Don't mind him. He's had a little too much.
Everyone goes quiet, and Smotador kind of speaks up and goes, Girl's speech is slurred, and then everyone's kind of like, oh, okay, and they kind of buy it from Smotador.
Smotador has to use the forgetfulness spell.
Yeah, he might be using some sort of spell to get people to move on.
And the girl just goes, burn!
Oh, God. Okay, so David kind of goes off into a corner
to
talk.
Do I have to roll to knock him out?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Geralt doesn't let loose, like, ever. So, like,
when he does, it gets dark.
When he does, he hates David Horseloth.
Okay, so David goes into a corner and starts trying to start up a chat with other people, and one of them, they're kind of in a corner, so they're kind of cornered, and one of them just kind of, like, kind of looks around and then just kind of gives in to listening to him and talking to him, and the other one just kind of, like, looks around and then just turns and faces the corner while David's talking, and stands like that the rest of their conversation. During this time, Smotador kind of comes over, and he goes, sorry about that, he can't really control himself, you know? And Smotador says, you know, he doesn't say it, but it would mean a lot if you went to his metal thing. He actually really does like you guys. And he's kind of lost a part of him since, you know, the tragedy of the 23. That's why we put the 23 on the flag on top of the tower that I should have mentioned earlier. that has the sigil, you know.
Dick, move, Geralt.
We honor them constantly. And,
Girl takes a huge drink of beer. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he goes, so, I know you guys really don't want to go, but would you do it for me?
I'd do it for David.
I'll go.
River will go, too. I don't know about, we'll see if we can get Girl there later.
Lazarus and Bert are kind of in proximity, and Bert kind of goes, I'll go. And Lazarus goes, he kind of looks at Smartledore and goes, I literally can't. And Smartledore goes, oh, yeah, I know. And he kind of looks at him and he's like, so, yeah, that's not a problem. Just don't even worry about it. To Lazarus.
Mm. Well, I go over and talk to Lazarus.
Well, he's right behind you.
Hi.
So we'll say you take the long way. You actually walk past him drunkenly and then come back around and tap him on the shoulder.
Hey.
You get lost in the corner of the room for a while.
Listen, I don't want to go either.
And he's like, yeah, but I literally can't go.
What's your excuse?
Hey, how are you getting out of this?
He kind of looks around and he goes, there's a lot of people around, and he kind of says,
I pathicate to him.
Okay. And he tells you, I have a history with Prideborn.
What's Prideborn?
That's the kingdom that the medal ceremony will be happening.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah,
in telekinesis, or what did I call it? Pathicate.
Are you drunk now?
No. In Pathicate, Geralt is completely sober.
Okay.
It's like a mental thing.
He's nice. Pretending to be
drunk. I actually dig that.
So, he tells Lazarus that he completely understands, and maybe nudge, nudge, wink, wink, he'll tell me a little bit more about it later.
He says, maybe. All right.
I love you.
So you all agree to go to the medal ceremony?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Mm.
Geralt's still thinking about it.
I feel like we probably should. So let's do it.
Fine, I'll go. So someone bring me my mattress. I'm sleeping the way there.
Oh, you know what? Okay, yeah. You turn down not going.
No, okay. I'll go.
No, you can turn it down.
We'll find a way.
Go ahead. Go ahead, turn
no,
it down.
I don't really want to get lit on fire again, because that's what happened last time.
No, that's not what's going to happen.
I slept through something.
That's not what's going to happen. We'll say you don't go. Okay, so you guys party the rest of the night, and you go back to Hagwarts. You sleep in your personal quarters. And the next morning, you hear about the ceremony, and you go to Prideborn. Now, Prideborn, on the continent, is the largest kingdom. It covers almost half of the continent.
How far away is it from Hagwarts?
Hagwarts, it's on the other side of the mountain range.
Okay.
So, you basically, when you just cross it, if you cross it dead center, you're at the start of Prideborn. Okay. You kind of own a very large piece of it. And the king is a great king. He's a real nice guy. You kind of know a bit about the place. It's a very large residential area, very large castle, but it has a lot of shady history, which we'll get to in a little bit. You go to this massive courtyard where there is a large stage set up with a bunch of banners and a little podium. All these villagers are starting to gather, and some of them have, like, T-shirts with Horselhoff's name written on them, and they're like, oh, yeah, like, all getting around. There's fruit vendors all around. No, actually.
What the fuck?
So you guys are all there, and back at Hagwarts, Erebus is kind of, like, walking around, and Smarldor comes by, and he goes, oh, you weren't going to the ceremony?
I slept in.
And he's like, that's a bummer. And you find yourself standing next to Geralt at the ceremony in Prideborn.
I could have bet you $100 that exactly finger snap was going to happen.
Did he say Smarldor out before he did it?
No, but later in the day, Erebus, you take off your shirt and it's written on your chest,
shamed into your dragonborn chest.
Hey, Erebus does not have a hairy chest. Okay, he's a dragon.
He's scaly.
Yeah,
he's got a scaly chest.
Got a hairy.
Anyway,
ass.
You guys are in this thing. They're having like a huge celebration. And Bert is not actually with you. He kind of was walking into the crowd, and he felt kind of awkward, so he actually went around and scaled one of the, like, three-story buildings that was kind of surrounding the area. So he's kind of up top. You guys are mixed in with the crowd. Do you get some food from vendors?
So we're just socializing, basically?
Yeah, but the
is there
people
any unicorn dick?
No.
What? Why?
Because Voke Jareff would never do that to his fanciful field of unicorns.
And it's very, very rare.
Yeah, how dare
which is
you?
Why it's so delicious.
Hey, calm down, Voldemort.
Maybe in the early days of, in the past days of Prideborn, maybe. But not at this point in time.
I'm going to go try and find, like, an underground club that sells unicorn
dick. Whatever.
Where only the real chefs go. Yeah, only chefs are allowed. Anyway, so all of a sudden there's a loud fanfare and people cheer and they're like, ah! And walking up onto the stage, you see the king.
Boo.
What? Boo the king.
The king comes up and he kind of like ushers on David, who's standing just beaming right next to him on the stage next to the podium. And the king walks up to the podium and he says, please be quiet. Please calm down, calm down. And he goes, 38 years ago, a child was born in the farmlands of our great kingdom. He grew to thrive in the fields during the dark reign of King Norrath. And there's a bunch of boos from the crowd. And he's like, no, I know. And he's like, as a teenager, he banded together a small posse and fought back the growing rule of the king. And after the king fell, he did not take his place. He felt other lands may need his help. And this oath to protect his fellow man, beings, got him blessed by the gods, giving him the title of paladin. And thankfully, he recommended me for the position, and we have had peace for many years. Today is the anniversary of my appointment as king, and I wish to honor David. He's like, we've done many great things in our kingdom. We've given back lands we've taken over. We've released many slaves they've taken on into our armies. We've done many a things to try to reconcile with the people of this great land. He says, we celebrate David Horselhoff, savior of Prideborn, paladin supreme, black knight of the realm, and people are just going crazy. And he goes, step forward, David, and David bows, and he puts a large medal on David, and everyone just goes crazy. And
there's silence from this row.
Okay. I will say, you guys are sitting in a row that was kind of reserved for you. And you feel kind of, like awkward about it, because there's also, like, 10 other empty chairs in the reserve section. Huh. So.
River's, like, going like this.
I'm pretending to clap. Quietly clapping.
And he walks up to the podium and he points at you guys, and he's got kind of like a tear, and he's like, thank you. Now, I didn't do this alone. Kit, my amazing horse, he did some. And he points off to the side
of
the stage.
And then we all cheer really loud.
I clap just super loud.
Yeah, and Kit's kind of off to the side, like, eating hay.
I love you, Kit! Eating steak.
Kit eats only steak.
He's eating steak. It's steak-covered hay. it's like a pasta for horses.
It's hay covered in steak.
Just eating a raw
It's not steak
cow.
Covered in hay. It's hay covered
anyway.
In steak.
And he was like, Kit did some, and all of you helped by believing in me. And there are four very important heroes who came with me today. Gary, Raven, Torben, and Eerie Bus, you four reminded me that I, too, didn't know what I was doing starting out.
Oh my gosh, I was probably
doing more harm than good with my unskilled and untrained abilities, so thank you for reminding me to be humble. Also, I want to thank me because I accomplished so much. Thank you.
Have me and David talked about anything? Like, do we have an issue?
I think you two have kind of given each other space. Okay. I think he kind of heard from Smartledore some of the stuff you went through. So he's kind of been like...
Okay.
A little bit more lax.
Okay.
I mean, he's fought alongside you, so he's more willing to trust than act on a suspicion.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And the king comes back over and he goes, "Let the celebration begin with three cheers! Hip, hip! Hooray!" And all these magic fireworks go up and explode, and he puts his arm around David, and David comes over, and he, like, kisses his fingers and does a peace sign to the crowd. And he goes, "Hip, hip, hooray!" And everyone cheers and goes nuts. Another burst of fireworks, and he goes, "Hip, hip!" And David lifts the king and rips him in half, throwing both pieces into the crowd. Blood splatters in a large cloud all over the front people of the audience and on the stage.
Jesus Christ.
Pandemonium erupts. People start running as David then claps his hands together and knocks down about four rows of people as they're trying to escape. He reaches down, puts his hands into the king's blood, and rubs them together. Perception check.
What the fuck? By the way,
25.
14.
24.
You two see David's eyes go white, and he starts speaking in a voice unlike his own.
Wait, so he literally just, like, picked the king up and ripped him in half?
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened the last time.
And threw his pieces into the crowd. And you hear a booming voice come from him as he goes,
"Blood of royals seep into the soil, rain from the skies of the under, and make way for Titan. He will be my sword, my spear, my arrow to pierce the heart of every deity above. I, Nicholas Mage, will rule this realm. Kneel or die on your feet."
And he just starts creating chaos throughout here. He turns to you four and smiles and moves his hand and kind of knocks you guys back. I would say you three, Geralt, River, and Erebus, go a little bit farther than Topher, who kind of gets caught up on a couple other people behind you. And he looks down at you, and he says, "You cannot stop destiny." And he leaps off of the stage towards you, Topher. And he takes out his gigantic greatsword that he is now bringing down upon you. And when he is about 2 feet away, you hear a... And he goes flying across the courtyard, smashing through one of the castle walls. And standing in front of you is Kit.
Ooh.
And Kit looks towards his direction and he goes, "David." And he turns back to you, Topher, and he says, "Hop on."
Oh, I am on.
Okay, Topher, you hop on. Kit darts over to one of the other sides where he finds a carriage and kicks it up and puts it on himself and wheels himself over to you three. And he goes, "Climb in."
Fucking in it.
Okay, you can see now.
Can I ride on top?
Hmm?
Can I ride on top of it?
No, just Topher. Just get in. He trusts
no,
Topher.
On top of the Carriage.
Carriage, yeah, it's kind of an open carriage. Oh, there okay. isn't a canopy. There's kind of an upper back part and two side parts.
I'm standing up then.
So one person can kind of go up to the top piece and two people kind of beside with Topher riding on. And Kit turns around and starts going, but you hear this loud rumble. And you can see from the spot of the hole in the castle, the ground start to crack. And out of these cracks is a bright red light that is shining up from them as the cracks are going up buildings and fanning out. And Nicholas Mage walks out, and behind him, a large dragon lich comes up out of the ground, bursting from below, and he climbs on top of it. And he floats up a little bit higher. The dragon flies up, and he says, "The kingdom of Prideborn will fall," and he flies off. Now, from there, the ground starts collapsing into a large red portal. As the cracks are going through the city, people are falling in, and from these cracks you see hands and arms crawling up, these skeletons, fiends, goblins, demons that all look like they are very much worse for wear. Bert is on top, struggling with a couple people in robes, fighting them off, as Kit takes off down an alleyway in between the cities. Now, I need you guys to roll initiative.
Was a lot of fun. The next episode, there's going to be some hot stunts. So like us, subscribe, review us on iTunes, check out our Facebook page, go to perceptioncheckpodcast.com, all those fun things. And now I'm going because my coffee's ready.